So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, where you'll find all the latest. So much going on, it never ends, but the one thing that remains constant is at least one day a week, we get this guy. How are you, Mr. Martin?
I'm doing all right, Mr. Springsteen.
Hey, good. How did everything go with the... go ahead, I'm sorry.
Was Mike Meharry?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was well received. You know, more than a dozen people there. And, you know, Mike's good at it, but, you know, he and I both commiserate while we're doing stuff. It's like, oh, man, we're all working too many hours. Our wives are working too hard. Yeah, we weren't talking politics because we're old friends. So it's like, we sounded like those two old men that sit in the balcony up there on the show.
Oh, my God. Well, for those of you who don't know, Mr. Martin missed last night because he went to a book signing with Mike Meharry, who is in charge of the 10th Amendment Center. So they might be old friends, but he was actually doing political stuff supporting the 10th Amendment Center. And so you say everything was well received, right?
What?
You said everything was well received. The book signing went good?
Oh, yeah. Granted, you do these public speaking things, and, you know, the people who show up are going to be friendlies usually. So, but yeah,
right.
it went well. Mike had been running since 4 a.m. that morning, so he actually had me by a couple hours. So, always good to see him. You know, always good to see him. So,
well, you know, Mike's
yeah,
a real nice guy.
When you were doing the intro, you know, it's always something. And every time you say that, I always go back to that same thing when we started talking. Like, are you sure there's enough, you know, when we did the weekly show, are you sure there's enough content?
Oh, yeah,
like,
I tell you.
Okay, we're going to do it every, you know, it's going to be, there's going to be a show 5 days a week, 4 days a week. Are you sure there's enough content? Are you sure the politics are insightful? Keep screwing things up, you know, at a decent enough pace to keep us talking about stuff?
You know, that's the interesting thing, because it never does get old. You know, it's fantastic, and if there's not enough going on, apparently I continue starting enough going on. Charges were filed against Jim King for ethics violations that should result in another council court. I'm not sure if this one will or not, but I filed charges against King for what I believe to be ethical violations, and we'll see how that one goes. So if there's not enough, I'll start it. As you know, last week, the Louisville Metro Council outlawed alcohol purchases after 2 o'clock at retail stores. Now, here's the thing for me on that one, Ed, and I know you've got input on this. We've talked about it before. But here's the thing with that. They did not outlaw bars and restaurants. Can this thing survive a court challenge?
You know, selective enforcement, I don't know. Yeah, we always wondered that about gambling and everything else. So I don't know if it can survive a court challenge. Part of me also wonders, you know, on the economic side, how much alcohol is really sold after 2 a.m., you know, in liquor stores. So,
well, according to...
That's the thing, is this councilman is like, well, this will stop crime or something. Well, maybe, and maybe everybody will just go to the liquor store earlier and buy more and get drunker sooner and start shit sooner.
Or they'll just drive by the bar and restaurant. Yeah, they'll just drink at the bar and restaurant and then drive home drunk. We put more drunk drivers on the road.
Yep,
it's interesting to me because that continues.
Yeah, once, because then they'll just be out later. Yeah, it'll just make drunk drivers. Yeah, because now you can't do package liquor and go home and drink it responsibly, although pathetically, in front of your TV.
Well, you know, it's to each their own, but I just get sick and tired of it because this is something Sherry Brian Hamilton has been trying to do for a long, long time. They finally get it. It passed by 15-7 vote. It even had a couple Republicans vote with them, which was totally surprising to me, including Kevin Cramer. You know, but Brian Hamilton wants to whine and cry, talk about how she has to leave her neighborhood to amenities that we enjoy every day because people won't locate to her neighborhoods. So she's using this as an example of cleaning up their neighborhoods. However, WFPL, our good friend Philip Bailey over at WFPL, put together a report on this, and according to him, the police figures that they obtain show the arrest involving alcohol in the past year from August of 2012 to the current peaked. The arrest for alcohol incidents peaked during the hours 8 to midnight. So nothing is happening after midnight. So why is it so important to box sales at 2 a.m.? It makes no sense to me.
Well, I look at the picture, and around the country, we've got, you know, we're saying, I look at all the things we're saying, you know what, you're saying they live your own life, you know, everything from mm-hmm. gay marriage to the legalization of marijuana. But here in Louisville, Kentucky, our city council critters who, you know, are living in the 19th century with their discretionary funds and their incompetence
right.
all the way around. No, here in Louisville, Kentucky, our city council people feel the need to crawl up your butt and babysit you to where you can't buy a perfectly legal, heavily taxed, and, you know, in some cases,
right.
if you're drinking bourbon or Fall City beer, locally grown and refined product.
Right.
But you can't buy that in Louisville, Kentucky. But you know, in Colorado, you can get a joint now. It's like on top of everything else, we're just it's just sad. We're just so damn behind the times. We're so nanny state, you know, and an overbearing nanny at that. And the thing that gets real.
And it's
going to
continue to be that way.
I look who's making the rules. These clowns, you know, I mean, some of them are really great folks, and they're all over it. Some of them are just as dirty and incompetent as could be, and they're telling people, well, we don't think it'd be a good idea if you buy alcohol.
If these council members wanted, I could add every bit of the dirt and the way that they live their private lives and run them all into hiding. I don't think that that's fair game, and I'm sick of them doing that to us. I agree. And I have to correct a misstatement by me. Yes, I misspoke. Kevin Cramer did not vote for this. My apologies to Councilman Cramer. Some of the council members were absent when voted on. Kevin Kramer, Vicki Welch, Steve Fowler, and Stuart Benson were absent. So none of those voted for this. What is interesting, though, a couple of Democrats that did vote against this, Jim King, you know, who I'm trying to work on right now, Jim King voted against it, and David Yates voted against it. So you got to give some credit to these two guys, regardless of what else you think about it. You know, but pretty much everybody else did. So we, you know, this is one of those nanny state situations, but I'm really hoping, beyond hope, that these guys actually get sued over this, that one of these liquor stores contacts an attorney and puts this in the court system because of the selective enforcement. I don't see how that is legal. And, you know, I guess we'll find out. I'm not sure. I guess we'll find out.
I don't see how it's legal either. But, again, it also comes down to a practical matter for a business owner of a liquor store. They've got to look at how much, you know, they'll rat it out, see how much it affects their sales. They may just see their sales go up between midnight and 2 as opposed to, you know, and make up for whatever they would have sold 2 to 4. They'll be okay with it. And if it's just a couple six-packs here or there, it's unfortunately, although it deserves a legal challenge, it may not get it because the money, you know, the economic justification for financing a legal challenge just may not be there.
Well, I actually don't think it's going to get a legal challenge just for that reason, because even the liquor store owners have said that they really don't make that many sales after midnight anyway. They just stayed up to 2 o'clock as a convenience for customers who work late on the job. You know, so they weren't really making a lot of profit anyway, and the fact that they stayed open for their customers, even though they probably were losing money or breaking even, you know, that says a lot for them. I mean, that's just doing the right thing. You know, and then, of course, last week, switching gears a little bit, the Metro Council last Thursday discussed the possibility of taking themselves out of the state pension system. They say that this will save the city millions of dollars a year if they can pull this off. Councilman Jerry Miller filed the resolution requesting the Kentucky General Assembly to revise a state statute binding the county employment retirement system to the state retirement system. Obviously, that's a good move for Louisville. I think it's something that's long overdue. We know the state retirement system is completely broke, will never get fixed, and will be bankrupt in just a couple of short years. What are the chances of something like that really happening, though?
Well, you know, again, I think it comes down to dollars and cents. Duh. Hey, you know, the state, the folks in the state who have used everything from, you know, jobs and pensions to the form of patronage, which is, you know, in a lot of cases the government's the biggest single employer in any given county, there's going to be some serious resistance to it. So I think just on a vote for vote, you know, state lawmaker type basis, I don't think there's too much of a challenge. I don't think there's too much chance that it would go through because we pay more into it than take out. So they're not going to want to let go of the goose that laid the golden egg there. However,
right.
I don't wonder if there's a legal, you know, if once again, legal challenges, this is worth literally millions upon millions of dollars to the city, especially when they're just being asked to pour money down a hole. I think they're going to put it up. They're going to, you know, feel it out. I'd say if they went for a legal challenge, it might be the better route. I mean, granted, it's going to cost money, but there's a lot. Unlike the liquor sales, they've had a lot of money in play here. So maybe we'll get a legal challenge. I just don't think it has much chance in the state legislature.
Well, personally, I think you're probably right. I hate to admit that. But, you know, it's not an unprecedented move, though, because it has been done before. The University of Louisville and the University of Kentucky both removed themselves from the state plan, you know, quite a few years ago. So this is something that does have a precedent. Now, how that holds up, I don't know. But if it's good enough for the universities, why isn't it good enough for the city? And that's one question they're going to have to try to answer, and I don't think they can. So it's going to be an uphill battle, no doubt about it. But I think it's something that's a worthy battle. So we'll see what happens. We're going to take a quick break.
I think it's one that the city could win pretty well if they went the legal route.
Right. Well, we shall see. And I think they will, too. Right now, it's on, you know, the city liability, pension liability, is only funded at 6%. And I think most of that has to do with the fact that KERS is so broken. So we're going to have to figure that one out soon, and hopefully we will. I'm going to take a quick break. First break of the night, folks. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ed Spencer Show right here, the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Spencer of the My View Matters Radio Show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Like we need to do that a whole lot these days. It's getting kind of crazy out there. Welcome back. If you guys are in a queue, don't forget you can hit number one on your dial pad, and we will bring you right in. And for everybody else listening, you can hit 858-683-1326 or call us at 502-805-0334 and get heard live on air. And I tell you, I would love to continue. I would really love to ignore the different stories that go on around here. Obamacare. I am sick to death of Obamacare. I'm sick to death of a lot of this stuff. But unfortunately, everything continues just showing how bad this president is. Great article at townhall.com today, folks. And it talks about Barack Obama and the damage that he's done to America. And if it, and they raised the question if it can ever be undone. And here you go. You know, this particular article is talking about his domestic policies have totally impacted the American economy, gravely impacted the American economy. We've seen the weakest recovery from a recession in modern American history. You know, when Obama was running for president the first time, he was talking about George Bush and him being unpatriotic for adding almost $5 trillion in 8 years to the deficit And here we've got 5 years in, $6.5 trillion added under Obama. That's just a start. Every bit of that's true. It's just something that we're going to be able to overcome. And it looks like we lost Martin. Okay. Well, he'll call right back. For you guys, you know, if you want to talk about it, that's great. Chime on in. But, you know, this is interesting to me. $6.5 trillion in 5 years. And we were calling George Bush unpatriotic. But, of course, it's all George Bush's fault today. You know, you look at this kind of stuff, the unprecedented levels of debt. You look at, you know, the government aid mess. You know, we've got to think about this. $6.5 trillion in debt. We've got all of this government aid mess. And essentially, we've got more Americans, as I talked about last night, over 108.5 million Americans are now receiving government aid, most of those through multiple sources, and only 101 million Americans, both private and government sector total, are working. And that's not counting Social Security and Medicare. This is the reality of the financial world we live in, Ed. What can be done about this?
Well, you know, it's like anything else. You've got to address the numbers are so huge, and that's one of the things I've said for a long time. You know, when we talk about everything from the debt to taxes, and people sometimes ask me, "Well, you're pretty fatalistic about it." But well, yeah, you've got some big numbers. So, we've got to find a way, and again, a lot of these knots have been, they've been tying this thing in knots for decades upon decades. So we've got to find a way to create jobs. And, you know, if we can't do it through big industry, because obviously big industry, they like to offshore and it's all cost driven. We've got to find a way to do it through small and medium sized business. We've got to encourage people to self-employ. I mean, we've got to come up with some stuff like that.
And but there's no way to pull that off, is there?
Part, I mean, again, we can't cut people off because most all that government aid actually is a form of economic and financial aid for the whole system because they do spend the money.
Well,
so,
you know,
I mean, I guess if I were going to solve the problem, it starts with education.
But here's the thing.
I'm an employer.
You say we can't cut people off.
It's funny that when somebody comes into our shop, you know. If looking for a job, it's like, oh, you know how to read a ruler? Wow, really? you know how to do fractions? Oh, hell, you're halfway there, my friend.
No kidding, without a calculator, too. I mean, here's the reality,
yeah.
Though, Ed. You say that I'm using realistic numbers, and I am. I admit that freely. But you say we can't just cut people off. But here's the reality where we're living at. When you've got 108.5 million people drawing off of 101 million people, I mean, essentially you're building a network that's going to cut itself off anyway, and then everybody's going to be broke. Everybody. So as cold as it sounds, you know, when you look at 108.5 million people getting all kinds of government benefits, you know, stuff that they're not paying into, we're not talking about Social Security. We're not talking about Medicare. Those are payroll deductions. We're talking about food stamps, Section 8, all these other things. These are the means-tested programs. So when you're talking about means-tested programs, so this data is coming from the Census Bureau. This isn't making stuff up. This is the U.S. Census Bureau, folks. Look it up. The White House puts that stuff on there, not Ed Springsteen. So when you look at all of this stuff in play, though, you know, you have to cut off. You have to take control. You got to force personal responsibility. Last night, our good friend Mayo called into the show, and he had mentioned something about that with all the money going out on welfare, there was enough money to give each and every American like $35,000. I don't remember the exact amount. And here's the thing. We know with the current tax structure, Ed, these guys are not ever going to go to a fair tax. They're not ever going to go to a consumption tax. They're not going to do anything that's going to cut that hand that feeds them because they're addicted to money. So with that in mind, for me personally, I would love to see the U.S. government, yes, folks, I know it's going to cost us a little bit of money up front, but I would love to see the U.S. government tell every one of these 108.5 million people who are currently taking from multiple government sources benefits to which they have not paid into or deserve in many cases, in my opinion, and I would love for the government to say, here you go, $20,000 a year for 2 years. We're going to cut you a check. You're not going to get any benefits. At the end of 2 years, it's gone. So you found a way to live within your means on $20,000 for 2 years and go get a job to provide beyond that, because that's going to be the way it is for 5 years. So you're only eligible for a benefit every 7 years. Something wrong with that?
Well, in this economy, it might be a little harsh, but yeah, I mean, I do think at some point, barring special needs like physical handicaps or something like, or very unusual circumstances, I think, I'm going to sound terrible, but I think there needs to be a cap. It can't be open-ended. We need to have a system that says, X amount of kids is the maximum you get. it has to be capped, because it's just our government, again, and the biggest problem our politicians have is they're opium addicted, other people's money. It doesn't make any, if they had to pay these bills, if they had to, enter into a contractual or, understood kind of relationship where, there were no limits on how much you could end up having to pay out and no guarantees on what you would in return, they wouldn't do it. And I think there need to be stipulations put all over any kind of government support. You've got to get a vocational education. You've got to pull your weight, whether it's volunteering, doing volunteer time at a daycare center or scrubbing graffiti. I think, we've often said that one of the most hated people of would-be conservatives, Franklin Roosevelt. But I remind people all the time, at least Franklin Roosevelt had the balls to sit back and say, yeah, okay, you need government assistance, fine, we'll give it to you.
Right.
Build this road.
See, I've got no problem cutting off. Here's another one for you. Now, this is really cold and cruel. Cut off kids. Why in the hell should we have to pay for somebody else who wants to go out and have kids? They want to have unprotected sex. They want to have kids. Why am I paying for it? I shouldn't have to pay for that.
But
has absolutely
to
nothing
degree,
to do
that's
with
one
me.
Of, that's one of the great. That's one of the big contradictions of the left. They want abortion legal because they want women to have a choice to not have kids. But then if you choose, and that being the operative word, if you choose to have kids, it's not that it's anything I agree with, but right now legally you have the option to not have that kid, even if you have that kid. It's starting to grow in your womb. You have the option to not have it. So if you're making a choice, that's like saying, okay, well, if I want to go out and buy a high maintenance car, I think you should have to pay for it.
Right.
If you make a choice, it becomes your choice. So, I've always said, if abortion were for right, then we have a sort of an idea for all those kids. It's legal.
We'll see,
it's legal. Have an obligation
but that's
to pay
it.
For all
But that's it. I'm not choosing to have kids. I raised my kids. Now, I understand. I could totally understand. I want to be compassionate here. I really do. I want to be compassionate. Have the WIC program for babies. I think it's up to 2 years old. I think it might be extended to 5 years now. I can't remember. But back in the day, it was for 2 years. For a baby up to 2 years old. You get peanut butter, formula, things like that. We want to help baby get a good start on nutrition, but it's not our lifetime problem. So why not keep the WIC program? That will help with the formula costs and things like that for the first 2 years to make sure our kids are being nourished properly. Then we've done our part, haven't we? We've helped with the start. We've helped with that transition, if you will, to parenthood.
I think we do what we can. Within reason and then maybe a little beyond reason to take care of kids, because they are, up until 16, 18, they can't get a job, and they are truly innocent bystanders in this, and they're impacted more than anything. The one thing that generally these debates come up, and I get into them, I'll jump in, is
right.
I often say, they say, well, a single mother raising two kids, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, biologic, all this genetic engineering has come a long way, but we still need a daddy. So where's the daddy? And where, because I see a lot of people, well, a single mother, a single parent. Like, well, there's no such thing as a single parent. There's always two.
Right.
Because it takes two. We haven't gone that far within genetic engineering yet. So I think now some people might cringe, but I think if you've got a baby daddy out there who's popping, you know, just making kids, and they don't, he'll show up if they sign an NFL or an NBA contract, you know,
right.
I'm a boy. They've been
right,
show up
yeah.
for that crap. But aside from that, they're absentee. I think we need a name. We need to, you know, fingerprint this. You know, we need to get a genetic print on this dude. And, you know, if we're going to spend the money to do that, then I'm sorry. That comes off the front end of your Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, loser.
There you go. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of ways to do this. And those deadbeat dads, and I have to throw in here, guys, as much as you women can't stand it, there's a ton of you deadbeat moms out there. I know that. My mom was one of them. I was raised by a single dad, okay? Not a single parent, a single dad. There's a difference, all right? And my mom was one of those deadbeat moms. I'm very familiar with deadbeat moms. They want to take the child support money, and they want to go out and party on the weekends and go have more babies because they want to get drunk with some dumbass guys out there. He doesn't want to use a rubber anyway, so he's going to go along with the program. There's not a guy in the world who's not going to take the gift when you give it to him. I promise you that. That's the truth of it. And a lot of women know that, and they scam the system and play the game that way to trap somebody. They know these guys are no good, but they do it anyway. Now, that's not all cases. Don't get me wrong. But it's a large part of the problem.
You need to put something on the guys and the mothers too. I think you know. I think if parents have dependent kids, that maybe that should be part of the program. It's like, look,
that's
you take X amount of dollars, of taxpayers. You know, however much you thought you were getting for Social Security, yours is prorated. So raise your kids right and raise them with love, because
you know
on that prorated Social Security, they're the ones that pick the nursing home you go into.
I can't tell you how many years I've worked two jobs, sometimes three jobs, to make sure that my family was taken care of, that my kids were provided for. That's the job of a parent. I don't care if you sleep. That's not my problem. If you've got a child in this world, it's your responsibility to take care of them. Get off the Xbox,
yep.
Go to McDonald's, or work a third shift. Who cares? But the reality is we've got to do something, because when we have this kind of a draw, you know, we are destroying the financial well-being of millions of Americans who are good working Americans, but they can't get ahead anymore because they're too busy picking up the slack for everybody else. So we've got to find a way. And the problem is when you go out there and you talk to stuff like I'm talking about tonight, all of a sudden you're this radical, heartless little shit. That's not true. I work with children. I work with children all the time. I work with special needs children. Children are the greatest asset and the greatest gift we've ever seen. But the deadbeat parents aren't. And for these people to go out and continue putting babies out there that I've got to take care of because they're too damn irresponsible to do it for themselves, then they're going to have to be pushed to compliance. And we're not going to do that when we make it easy with the means-tested programs. I mean, 108.5 million people, you know, that is crazy. And when you told everything, the means-tested and the non-means-tested, you're up to 151 million people. All right, taking government money off of 101 million. It's absurd. It is absurd.
Yeah. And I,
you know,
as I say, I think, you know, like I say, we've got to take care of people, but there has to be a price to be paid for it. If we're taking care and we're raising your kids, if you're listening to the show, quite frankly, I don't give a rat's ass. Ever get an unemployment. You never, you know, I'd say unemployment checks, no, we're going to get them. Disability checks. Yeah, well, sorry. Anything you've got coming that comes through the system, Social Security checks, now you're spending your Social Security now on your children, whether you like it or not. You don't have a choice. And I think in doing that, to a degree, we might keep Social Security, Medicare, and unemployment and a few other things going a little longer because, you know, hell, that way we don't have to pay daddy. We don't, you know, whoever the baby daddy is, you're not getting a Social Security check, so that's one less one we have to worry about. He'll be working until he's 70, and rightfully so. Maybe 77, 78, who knows?
You're right. You're right. You know, and for those people out here who think that, you know, it's heartless to talk like that, and I don't know what I'm talking about, but I've never been there, let me tell you something. I was brought up dirt poor. I really was. We used food stamps as a kid. Stamps, not these EBT cards that nobody's ashamed to use. We had to pull out these green, blue and brown stamps and pay for food. And it was food. You didn't get all this extra crap you did today. You didn't spend it on candy bars and Cokes, all the other stuff. So, you know, I am familiar with that. And then as an adult, just a few years ago, I was on unemployment, and I did not file for the extension. I could have filed for an extension on unemployment, but once my 26 weeks ran out, as far as I was concerned, that was it. I didn't find what I needed or what I was looking for in that 26 weeks, and I should have filed an extension. My wife to this day can't understand why I didn't file the unemployment extension, but it wasn't right. It wasn't fair. I didn't pay in for that extra money. Unemployment is set for 26 weeks. At the end of 26 weeks, I found a way to make do. Had to do it with less, but I made do. Anybody can do that. You know, we talked a little bit so many times about this living wage mindset, Ed. A living wage simply means this. A living wage is a survival wage. What do you have to survive? And as I've mentioned before, if you want to live in a $1 million mansion and you got to have a living wage to live in a $1 million mansion, then go make $1 million to pay for it. But not everybody has to live in a $1 million mansion. You can live downtown for $300 a month right now. I can name 10 places for $300 a month. You can make $300 of rent working at McDonald's.
And a living wage is a moving target. I mean, how many kids do you have? What part of the country do you live in? Now, does a car or gas and insurance on a car, does that factor into a living wage? It's all up in the air, and these people that keep saying, well, these people ought to pay a living wage, and I'm always thought, well, create a company and you pay the living wage.
This is America.
And whether it's living wage or not, you know, you pay enough and have enough benefits where it's much as anything, it's a factor of how many income earners and how many dependents you have in your house. I mean, you make damn good money and still
that's
not make a living
that's
wage.
Bullshit too, though.
Mouth to beat.
That's BS too, though, because you determine how many people live in your house. You can determine how many kids are going to live in your house. If you're going out and having babies that you can't pay for, you've made the conscious decision to lower the amount of expendable income you have. Cars are not a necessity. Cars are an option. You can move next door to where the McDonald's is that you work at, walk back and forth to work. You can ride a tag-on taxi if you got to get too far away, or you can find out the local bus route. We have public transportation. So, the thing is, people don't want to sacrifice anymore, and that's the reality of the game. I got to take this call real quick. I think this is our good friend Mayo. How are you, sir?
Yeah, that it is, Ed. Something didn't bring up last night, kind of goes with what you've been saying. I think I can't remember when, whatever program was started, Social Security, Disability, or whatever, 55 or something. But back then, if I remember the ratio correctly, it was like, 67 healthy, able workers per one disabled one. And then the last study done in either 2009 or 2010 when they released it, it was 3.5 healthy, able-bodied workers to every one disabled person. Or person on welfare or disability. So,
oh sure,
yeah, like we were saying.
But the problem for me. Well, and then we got the baby boomers coming in. By the time it's all said and done with, once the baby boomers hit full force in the Social Security system, you're going to be down to about 1.5 to 1. So for everybody working, you're going to have 1.5 people to pay the benefits for the one person who's drunk. And that's not wrong. I mean, it's not fair to them to cut them off. They paid into the system for 40, 50 years. That's what they paid for. That's our government's robbing Peter to pay Paul and stealing from Social Security and playing with the money. But those are non-means tested programs. When we talk about the draw here, the reason that Social Security is going broke isn't because they're not taking in enough money. They've always taken in enough money. But every dime that they take in that they're not using right now, the government wants to borrow against to pay for these means tested programs like food stamps, Section 8 housing, and the other stuff that people should be working and providing for themselves on. That's the reality. So, when you talk about Social Security and Medicare, we pay for that.
It's a pile of money that the government, technically the government has to borrow the money anyway because that's part of the charter. It has to go into U.S. Treasury, which is a note, so it's borrowed. But the big mistake comes that the government counts it as income. It's not income. It's no more income than any money you put in your 401k. You don't count that as income. If your company has a pension, if you work at Ford and you have a certain pension, you don't count that as your monthly income because it's not there for your monthly spending. But the government did. So, they got big problems.
They spend it as part of their personal checkbook. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's a savings account. It's not a checkbook. You're right, Ed. You know, and that's part of the problem now, because here we've got $6.5 trillion new debt in 5 years. It'll be $10 trillion almost by the time Barack Obama gets done with it. And instead of anybody facing the reality and trying to deal with that situation, we continue wanting to go out. We're spending millions on ads to tell people how to sign up and get free government assistance. There's nothing free here. We're telling people, schooling people on how to go out and get Medicare, Medicaid, things like that, where they're capable of working, but they don't want to work. You know, we've got all this going on. So what is our answer for all of this? We want to print more money. That's all we do. We're playing Monopoly right now. We're printing more money. We're doing this inflation crap. We're printing more money. The poor are getting further and further behind. There's no such thing in this country anymore as middle class. And a minute ago, Ed, you said something about we need to focus on a small and medium-sized business. Well, the problem with that logic right now is Obamacare. With the Affordable Care Act, we now know that small business and medium-sized business are being squeezed out, too, because you can't comply with Obamacare and be successful. So where's the
worst thing? Either you've got to pay your employees more so they can buy their own insurance, or you've got to buy and approve, you know, a plan that meets their minimum threshold, which all of which, you know, it cuts into the take home of the employees, so makes it harder to do the whole living wage thing.
And if you're a small or medium-sized business that does anything other than fast food or service industry, you've got to raise your prices. When you raise your prices, those jobs go overseas. Now we've got more McDonald's on the corner where your business used to be. Welcome to the new America, folks. I can't say it any better than that. Welcome to the new America. Am I right, Mayo, or am I wrong here? I mean, it only makes sense.
Well, no, it doesn't make sense. And people thought, I mean, I'm going back a ways here. Ross Perot said he was crazy, but a lot of the things that he said, you look at them logically with what, you know, Ed Martin was bringing up about, you know, how many children, et cetera. And, you know, if you're going to, at whatever point, if you're on welfare past X amount of months, then have a woman put on Norplant and have men be given the sterility shot. You know, and that way they're sterile for 30 days or whatever it is. And that way no more children can be born into welfare, and you can't, and the cycle does not keep repeating.
But you can't do that,
so
man.
That
you're taking away
harsh.
The choice. You're taking away the choice.
Well,
they're taking away
my choice by greater taxes. They're killing my choice of being able to live a happier life by charging me more money because, you know, not all, but some
to pay for
problems. You know, are lazy butts for me to pay for them. You know,
well, let's assume for a second.
There's nothing wrong with a hand up, but not a hand out constantly.
Thank you. I agree with you 100% on that. And that's what the liberals used to believe. When they came across with a New Deal and everything else, this was never designed to be a hand out. It was always designed to be a hand up, to give you a break point so that you could work, get ahead, so that you didn't get further behind. It was never designed to be a way of life. Welfare was never designed to be a way of life. But unfortunately, the liberals found out that they can get elected by making sure that they keep you enslaved and make it a way of life. And the Republicans, who actually are smart enough to know that you've got to embrace the free market, let the free market do your job, are too dumb to know how to make that message sell. So, you know, it's always fascinating to me. And then you throw on top of this the Obamacare situation today, we've got a lady named Sue Klinkhammer. She wrote in the Chicago Sun-Times. You know, she used to work for the mayor there, Illinois Congressman Bill Foster. She worked for him. He didn't get reelected. She lost her job. She spent over 2 years defending Obamacare, and now she's fit to be tied, writing in the Chicago Sun-Times because her daggone insurance is going to go up, and, you know, Obamacare was a lie. She's finding that out. We've got all these different things. And I tell you something else we've got, too. CNN, you know, we've talked constantly about an Emmy Award-winning journalist, Amber Lyon, who had went public and said that CNN was censoring her work and being paid by the government to give favorable reports. So she left CNN. Emmy Award-winning journalist. Well, now we've got this from CNN. Listen to this.
There's a consistency in the Obama administration of going after people who embarrass the administration, but not those that take shots or cover for the administration.
And Will really does have a point, because I felt it firsthand when I was, reporting on the presidential race. I mean, President Obama's people can be quite nasty. They don't like you to say anything bad about their boss, and they're not afraid to use what other means they have at hand to stop you from doing that, including threatening your job.
There you go. Now we've got another reporter with CNN who is actually live on CNN making the claim that Obama would have your job threatened if you gave him, you know, anything less than stellar reviews and stellar talk. Do we not think that the mainstream media is bought and paid for? Is there any other way that we can prove this? So the American people don't know the truth, do they?
Well, I think, you know, and I think it's like a lot of things. Sooner or later, you got to reach a critical mass. I think Obama, what's to be expected? It's Chicago politics, you know. It's the way they do business up there. And, yeah, they don't have a whole lot of risk. You know, the machine, as they called it under Daley and stuff, but the way it's done. So I think the biggest thing is that, and we you know, we paste the mainstream media all the time. We don't have a lot of respect for them, do we, Ed? But I think what you've got is you've got a bunch of people who each one of them thinks that they're standing alone. You know, if they say something bad about the president, then the president's people spend a little time with him, a little quality time, Chicago style.
Sure.
And that, as far as it knows, that person thinks they're alone. And, you know, these journalists, as we say sometimes, they're stenographers. Yeah, they feel threatened. They're, a lot of their industries, you know, CNN, they're sort of like, who watches CNN, right?
No, well, I agree, but...
But, you know, so their jobs are threatened anyway, and then somebody steps in and does that. Now, I think the important thing is finally it just takes one person with courage to step up and say publicly, you know, you may have my job, but I'm going to out your thuggish behavior. You know, it's bad enough you hit me with it. Now I'm going to make your thuggish behavior for it.
But how many people have the cojones to do that?
Critical mass. I think you're going to see, you know, a couple do it, and then a couple more are going to come out, and pretty soon we're going to find out from a whole bunch of reporters, you're going to get a whole lot of people going, yeah, those SOBs did that to me, too. So, you know, it works.
Well, I mean, the reality is, though.
It works as long as it works, and then once you lose the ability to keep everybody not talking to each other in the media, and you keep everybody scared in the media, and somebody steps up, and that becomes its own story. And the media, more than ever, if they don't stand up to it, they're useless. I blame the media more than I do the Obama. They're useless.
Well, I do too, because Obama has only done what he wants to do because the media has allowed him to. There's no way that any other person, George Bush or anybody else, would have ever got away with half the stuff that Obama has. But now we've got people that are inside, Democrats, crying foul because Obamacare is so bad. We know that up 75% of the 14 million people who bought their insurance individually are going to get canceled. This is something that the Obama administration has known for 3 years. And have hidden that information. It's so bad. This is how bad it is, folks. It's so bad that NBC News is talking about it. They're the ones that are out there telling everybody that 75% of the 14 million consumers who buy their insurance individually are going to get a cancellation notice. It could reach as high as 80%. NBC News is culpable here. They've been protecting the administration. CNN has been protecting the administration. Now they want to go public and say, oh, well, you know, we were threatened. You know, well, what happened to the Fifth Estate? You know, there is a price to be paid for that. Don't get me wrong. I'm outspoken. I put my cojones on the line every day. I'm taking on the Metro Council president right now. You know, is there a price to pay? Sure. I've been blackballed. I've had all kinds of stuff done. There's been threats. There's been all kinds of crazy crap. All right, you've got to be willing to take the bad with the good here. But how many people are willing to sacrifice to make it better? You don't have that today. You know, and the fact that the administration knew this and that NBC News, CNN, and everybody else are now starting to act like they want to do real journalism should be an insult to anybody who listens to this program or any alternative news market. It's incredible to me. I mean, am I wrong in thinking that? Go ahead, Mayo.
No, you're not. I mean, I was actually going to bring up the NBC thing, but you kind of beat me to the punch there. I didn't know if I mean, I just heard a brief blurb, but it was, you know, like you were saying, even the, with the John Kerry deal the other night you mentioned, but, you know, even Democrats are speaking up, and finally the media is listening, and, you know, it's like all of a sudden they're waking up and going, oh, this isn't what you know, we thought it was or what we were promised. You know, it isn't rainbows and corns. It's a little bit of...
No, it's puppy dog,
you know,
rainbows.
Gravel.
You know, but you're right. But they did know. That's the thing. Or they should have known. The problem is that they didn't want to do the due diligence because they just wanted to fall in love and make the whole world believe that Barack Obama was the second coming of Jesus Christ himself. And the reality is that we knew he wasn't. He knew he wasn't. And they knew he wasn't. Now we've even got all of this other stuff going on, CGI, the people that are responsible for the Obamacare website. And we'll get into more of this tomorrow night, too. But CGI, the people responsible for the Obamacare website, is run, or one of the top executives at CGI, is First Lady Michelle Obama's Princeton classmate, Toni Townes Whitley. Great friends with the First Lady, one of her classmates at Princeton, and she's a senior vice president of CGI. Wonder why there was a no-bid contract given there. You know what I mean? This is what bought. This is what we paid for. Ed, if I bought a product from you that was as pathetic put together as this clown that we call the president is, you'd be out of business, wouldn't you?
Well, if I sold you something as bad as that product, I don't know if I'd be out of business. It depends, you know, if I have enough money. But I sure as hell would, you know, in the way I just said, well, why don't you come by on Saturday and we'll get that worked out? Because I sure as hell wouldn't want any, I'd want as few people knowing that I put out a piece of crap like that as possible.
We take care of it after hours, but I would take care of it. But see, that's the whole problem, though,
and,
because nothing is being taken
care of. And a couple bottles of bourbon and said, please don't tell anybody we jacked this up so bad.
Well, and, you know, you got a good point there. But that's exactly what's going on. So we've got all these things going on, and nobody cares. You know, now the media wants to jump on board. You know, and the problem is they're jumping on board. It's a little too late because they knew this going in. They didn't want to deal with this going in. Now we've got America being totally destroyed from within financially. And believe me, folks, if you control the money, you control the outcome. That's just the way it is. That's why these guys fight so much over power and ego. And for you guys who think that the Republicans are in trouble or the Tea Party is in trouble come the 2014 midterm elections, you better think again. Because when you have Democrats go public against a UN arms treaty, you have Democrats go public against something like that, you have Democrats go public against Obamacare, the same thing that's being blamed that the Tea Party shut down the government over Obamacare, and now these same Democrats who 2 weeks ago were screaming how screwed the Republicans were, they should have went after Obamacare. Oh, wait, now we want to shut it down and get rid of the individual mandate. This is what the Republicans were asking for in the first place. So if they're willing to sit there and be the hypocrites publicly, you can bet your butt that their constituents are reaching out to them and telling you, we don't like you no more. They've got a lot of problems in the 2014 midterm elections coming to them. I can promise you that. It is crazy. Once again, man, the hour goes quickly. Mayo, thanks so much for the call. Ed, got a lot to go over. Real quick announcement for tomorrow and Thursday. Dale the Truth will not be here. He's got to go out of town for some personal business. It's not my business, so I don't ask. But he won't be here the next couple of days, so you're stuck with me for the rest of the week. So that's tomorrow night at 7 and Thursday at 7 with the TNT show. Mark, final thoughts?
Well, you know, final thoughts. We'll pick up off that last story. I mean, enough cynicism to go around. But, you know, the truth of the matter is it is, and I truly believe it because, you know, I get my source. You know, I get most of my news actually from following the money, watching, you know, financial blogs and financial news sites and your news site and, like, Jacob Payne's news site. You know, because I think the public needs to embrace this even more. Because, as has been said before, the thing about bloggers like yourself and alternate media is they've got to get the story right every time because there's no presumption of readership or anything. If you're, first time you really blow it, you're out of business. But they're aggressive, and you know, we slam the mainstream media all the time. If they're writing, if they're broadcasting, they're doing it at this third to fifth grade level. It's a, if it bleeds, it bleeds kind of garbage. Not the stuff that really affects you in life. It's the stuff you look at and go, ooh. So I think people just need to wake up. I think they need to broaden their information base. And in so doing, That's how you challenge the media. I mean, the media, the mainstream media is going to come around. I'm confident of that because market forces are at play here. They're losing jobs like it's going out of style. They keep running with the same lame-ass, it leaves, it bleeds. Let's kowtow to the president, if we like him, kind of crap. And they're getting their asses handed to them, not necessarily by the alternate media, just by a viewership and a readership that's going, now, this stuff is, your version of news is lame. So, you know, we need to challenge them. And sometimes the best thing you can do is simply walk away, go pick up your news sources and bits and pieces in other places and challenge the media. Basically say to them by boycotting them, saying, you know what, you're going to have to do better. And by God, when we find out that you were kowtowing down to the president and sending his little secretary people out to beat you up and stuff, and you actually caved to that crap, you know what? You deserve to lose your job, and you deserve to lose your readership.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And the reality is this. You know, alternative media, internet media, radio, web advertising, things like that, the entire internet advertising budgets, you're right, the entire internet advertising budget is now number two to only broadcast TV. By the end of this year or certainly next year, advertising online will take over the number one spot for advertising dollars. That's a lot right there. Print media is all but dead. They're going to be dead within the next 5 years, the ones that are surviving. I firmly believe that. So, you know, now is the time to get involved in that advertising and take advantage of it. Well, you can still get prices at a fairly good rate. You know, and if you want to advertise here, give us a call, area code 502-742-8519 right here at Louisville News. You know, and you can help us fund the show and keep things going. But the reality is this. You know, it doesn't matter. The advertisers at this point doesn't matter. What's making the difference is mainstream news is getting beat by people that are otherwise called citizen journalists, if you will. All these broadcast majors are going out there to learn how to read a teleprompter and read the latest press release, but you've got the guys like me and Philip Billy and others out there who are actually doing the hard-nosed research and getting involved like the old guys did, the Walter Cronkites, the Edward Murrows, you know, the real news journalists, the people who really went out there and made the difference. And it's all switched to this format. You're welcome. That's all I can tell you. You're welcome. Because without the guys in alternative media today, we wouldn't know anything in this country. And thank God that the majority of this country has finally caught up to the technological advantages that we have today. And you can get to the truth in news. That's why CNN is all of a sudden doing a 180. That's why even Piers Morgan is out there, you know, doing a 180 on his stances against America at CNN. That's why NBC is changing their tune. Their ratings are shot. They're gone. You can mark my words on this. Rachel Maddow over at MSNBC, you know, she's going to be changing her tune in the near future. Why? Because she's getting her butt kicked by Megyn Kelly over at Fox News and the ratings. You know, and that's what it takes. You've got to be able to stand there, and you've got to be able to negotiate your position, but you've got to be able to be firm and fair and report what's really happening. There is no middle ground here. You can't show favoritism if you want to have any integrity whatsoever. And mainstream news might finally be catching that, but it's a little and a little too late. That's for tonight. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, don't forget, right here, same time, same channel with me. And Thursday night, the TNT Thursday Night Truth show will be with me live at 7 as well. And Kim Mulman will be here Sunday night for his usual brand of Liberty Unbridled. So until then, folks, have a great night. We'll talk to you, Mr. Martin.
All right. Have an excellent one.
All right. Take care, folks. We'll see you later.